The German dramatist Bertolt Brecht was the kind of artist who looks at the way things are and asks why they have to be that way. He shook up the world of theater in the first half of the past century by demanding a level of engagement from his audiences that rejected the traditional model where the audience sits obediently in the dark and suspends its disbelief. Mid-Pacific Institute theater teacher John H.Y. Watt's production of The Caucasian Chalk Circle uses a cast of 27 actors playing more than 80 roles, integrating poetry, song, and dance into a show that's played in the round. We spoke with him about Bertolt Brecht's impact on theater and the ongoing relevance of those plays.
I would think that Brecht is probably one of the more, maybe even one of the most important playwrights of the 20th century. And I mean, his idea was that the audience shouldn't come to the theater and merely be entertained. He was a very strong political theater practitioner, so he wanted his audience to get up out of their seats at the end and not go, oh, that was very nice, or that was a beautiful show, but yeah, to get up and go out and, you know, engage in political action to make the world better, a better place. And so he tried a lot of different things, and he was a big proponent of what was called epic theater. So a lot of Brecht plays will try to do things that shock the audience or make the audience remember that they're watching a performance and always think about it in a kind of political way.
Mm-hmm.
And we told our actors this at the beginning, and then we said, well, but this particular story is really kind of beautiful, so sometimes it's hard for us to make sure that the audience is going to be surprised in that way. And then also, too, there's a tendency for modern audiences to watch something that's shocking or surprising and very shortly make it very aesthetic. So
yeah. We've also seen so many things that are shocking or mm-hmm. would have been shocking in Brecht's day that aren't shocking anymore.
Right.
So, you know, maybe theater audiences have returned to that kind of passivity that drove mm-hmm. Brecht crazy.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, maybe the audiences are in that kind of passivity, but hopefully they will take away something, you know, and really think about it at the end.
Well, one of the things one of the characteristics of Brecht was he was a great fourth wall breaker. He didn't mind.
Absolutely.
You know, he would just flat out tell you, this is, you're in a theater, mm-hmm. you're the audience, and now I, the actor, am talking to you.
Yeah. And we do some interesting things with this production. This is the first one that I've been, in my 25 years at Mid-Pacific, it's the first one we're doing completely in the round. So we have seats where normally the stage is. So, mm-hmm. And then we have, you know, there are narrator characters who actually talk directly to the audience. And we have all of our actors, occasionally they will leave the stage to make costume changes and things like that. But a lot of times they will just actually stay in the space, sit next to the audience members, maybe even talk to them and comment on what's happening on the stage as well.
You know, and that's the traditional model of theater.
Mm-hmm.
Come in, take your seat, lights go down,
right,
and you buy into whatever, you know, you're supposed to believe that's Agincourt or whatever going on the stage. And everybody is complicit in a kind of a shared understanding. You do this, and I'll do that, right?
Right.
And all that got broken in Brecht's theater. So that's a bit of a switch for audiences to make.
Absolutely. And I was having an interesting conversation with one of my alums who came to watch rehearsal. And we came to the point where we were going, I think I was talking about how beautiful the story is. And then my former student said to me, and you know, actually, if you think about it, that's not antithetical to what Brecht would do. He was all about putting beautiful things on the stage, but at the same time having this kind of political rhetoric that goes on underneath it all. And, you know, I mean, he was a poet and a composer. But,
you know, so many of the memories of him have to do with the political engagement.
Right, exactly.
And a little bit of the, I want to say, the kind of the bitterness, you know, an anger. I mean, this is
cynicism almost. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Because, you know, after all, the time in which he was writing mm-hmm. was a time in which, you know, Europe was falling apart.
Right. And as we've worked on this play, too, we're pleasantly surprised at how many of these things. This play is written in 1944, but all of these things are still important.
Mm-hmm.
There's, in fact, we're looking at the current issues about sexual harassment, and there's two sides of that that are shown in this particular play. And then all the institutions of power that stand in the way of doing what is right, and then the choice you know, the hard choices to do what is right, even in the face of all kinds of other things that happen.
Well, and another thing that, that Brecht would do was very candid acknowledgement of class structures.
Yeah.
And there's a whole class element with the adopted child and,
yes,
and the mother. But give us a little rundown of what that little subplot is.
Well, actually, that really isn't the subplot. That's almost the central plot of the story, uh-huh, which is the governor's wife has a child, and then there's an upheaval in government, so they have to get out of the country while they still have their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And she's more interested in which dress she's going to have pack up, mm-hmm, and she leaves her child. And one of her servant girls sees the child and ponders what the right action should be. And the singer or the storyteller of the story says, "Terrible is the temptation to do good." And we asked ourselves, my God, what does that mean? And
yeah,
we really thought about it, and we said, you know, a lot of times right action, just action is tough. It's fraught with all kinds of difficulties. And in this case, it certainly is, because the girl finally picks up the baby and takes care of it. And people are hunting for the baby. And, you know, if she gets caught with the baby, they say, you know, you'll get killed if you have that baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then, fortunately for us in this story, it doesn't have that kind of ending to it. There is a test, almost like we're probably familiar with from the story of Solomon, the wise judge who has to decide who the true mother is. And this is similar, but in this case, the wise judge isn't, you know, King Solomon, but in this case, Azdak, the town bum, who's been called upon to judge this case. And at the end, the singers say, you know, even in his brief tenure, it was thought about as a time of perhaps justice, a brief time of justice.
And throughout that, you have the angry Marxist playwright.
Yeah.
You know, the aristocracy, mm-hmm, cut off from human emotion, the people close to the earth, more in touch with human feelings, more able to love a child.
True, absolutely. But we see that everyone in the story is, you know, not guiltless. You know, I mean, Grusha is the one, the central peasant girl who picks up the baby, is the one who does the most action. But there are all kinds of other people in the story of all classes who are, you know, tempted the other way, to be selfish, to be self-aggrandizing, to take care of themselves first, to make money, as you will, as opposed to doing what is good, what is right.
Well, the way you're describing them, John, it really makes it sound as if Brechtian themes that, mm-hmm, are often seen as, you know, the years between the wars and,
right,
Marxism in Europe, that kind of thing. But a lot of those themes got a lot of contemporary relevance.
Oh, absolutely,
they?
Absolutely. And, you know, in the current times, you know, a lot of people are rethinking about doing more Brechtian plays. I think there are a lot of productions now this year in the country of one of his other plays, the Arturo Uy, which is, mm, you know, about an interesting a leader who has some, perhaps...
It's about a tyrant.
Yeah. So we see a re-interest, I think, in Brecht and his political theater, given the times that we have today.
Perhaps the lesson being it's a rush to judgment to think of an artist as being solely a product of his time.
Exactly. And for us, it's been really exciting to look at a play that's, you know, this old, you know, more than 50 years old, that still has really strong relevance. And even for our students who are, you know, 15 and 16-year-olds, they really get a sense of a kind of political rhetoric that survives and, you know, is still relevant today.
John Watt is the director of the Bertolt Brecht play, The Caucasian Chalk Circle, which opens tonight at Mid-Pacific Institute's Kauaihao Recital Hall and runs for the next 2 weekends. You can get details and see photographs of the production on The Conversations Facebook page.